host, founder and creator of the Drag List, Bill Kraft. And in the right wing, John, the Wildcat One. You're going to hear news and interviews from the world of drag racing, both now and then. So get yourself situated.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to Racing and Rocking with DragList.com, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. I'm Bill Pratt. It's great to be with you tonight because tonight we feature Ashley Sanford, who is NHRA's newest licensed Top Fuel racer. So excited to talk to Ashley. I'm going to ask some racing questions. John's going to ask some rocking questions. And, of course, you can join us live on our live chat during the show at racersreunion.com. Also, if you're not doing it already, you can go over to our Facebook page, the draglist.com Facebook fan page, and we're broadcasting live there. And, of course, then you'll be able to see it from now to the end of time as you go up to that page. So without further ado, let me welcome Ashley Sanford to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
Really, really excited about this. Congratulations on getting your license, and welcome to Top Fuel.
Thank you. It still is so weird hearing that, to be completely honest, because it's just so surreal having this dream become reality and, you know, getting to say I am one of, I mean, really few in the whole entire world that gets to be a part of this elite group that is in the Top Fuel category of the NHRA. It's just incredible. I'm beyond grateful to the whole Lagana team for trusting me in their Nitro Ninja Top Fuel Dragster, and I mean, giving me an amazing car to license in. 319 was my quickest mile per hour, then 382 is my licensing ET. I mean, it was a blast.
So great. You're right. I mean, you flew down the track. This is, you're not backing into this at all. 382 at 317, which, for, you know, that is not one of the top funded teams in the sport. That's one of the best runs that car has ever run. It's really amazing.
Yeah.
You're taking it through its paces, girl.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I mean, those guys, even though they're not full time, they're not joking around. They're out there to compete, and that car is fast. And, I mean, yeah, that number proved it right there, and getting to pilot it was just, I mean, beyond a dream come true to get to do that.
Oh, it's so great. We know Lagana's way back to the English Town days in the 80s, so those guys were a lot younger then, and I was somewhat younger then, but knew their dad, and, you know, what a great, great family. But walk us through the weekend. So it was that, you know, not this last NHRA national event, right? The Charlotte race where you got the...
Exactly.
Take us through your weekend. Tell us how it worked.
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole long story short of it all was it all actually was supposed to go down in Las Vegas at the national event there. And unfortunately, that day it was crazy. We were battling random rainstorms and crazy windstorms to where even on my second to last pass trying to make a full pull, the winds are at about 30-35 miles per hour, and I mean, it was my first time trying to go down the track in a Top Fuel dragster and having to do it with, you know, wind trying to knock me over in another lane. It was, you know, a whole different story. So long story short, because of those conditions, we weren't able to complete the process in Vegas, but I did get to make one full pull, and that was my 387 run at 319 there. Mm-hmm. And man, it felt incredible. I was really bummed we didn't get to finish it there, but then at the end of the day, I was like, wow, poor me, I have to go to another track and drive again. Wow.
Yeah, tough break.
So from there, yeah, seriously. But so from there, we kind of regrouped and, you know, talked to the boys, the Lagana brothers, and said, what's next on your schedule? What can we try and make work? Because, you know, we wanted to keep it fresh and do it as soon as possible. And so that's when they were trying to figure out if they were going to be in Charlotte or not. And literally just about 2 weeks before the national event, just a couple weeks ago in Charlotte, we got the go-ahead that they were going to be there. So got our plane tickets, and it was really cool for me because I've only been at NHRA races in the last 4 years with my alcohol car and my family running events. And to get to go to an event and work alongside a Top Fuel team the whole weekend and, you know, really just immerse myself in everything they do for the weekend was so cool for me. So I got to be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And the Lagana boys, for those who don't know, are also very close and involved with the Capco team. Mm-hmm. And so that Sunday night when they won the four wides, which, by the way, my very first four wide experience, so it was like beyond cool for me. And then they win, and you know, it was unbelievable getting to be a part of that, experiencing, you know, all the adrenaline and, you know, happiness that, you know, we all feel as racers. You spend so much time to get that win and to, you know, watch those boys earn it was the coolest thing ever. And then the next morning, I got to wake up first thing, and literally we had one pass to make because, again, for whatever reason, weather does not like to be nice and sunny when Ashley wants the license. It was scheduled to be 100% chance of rain, so we were scared for a little bit, and we decided, you know what, we'll get up first thing, try and be one of the first cars out there and just try and get that one pass in before this giant storm's heading our way. And so we did just that, and it was about 9:15 in the morning, and it was our do or die pass, and that was the 382 run. And let me tell you, when I hit those chutes and was tugging on that brake, I feel like people could hear me screaming from the moon because it was the best feeling in the world, and I was just so ecstatic. You know, really, it felt like a weight was lifted off my shoulders of, you know, wanting to accomplish this for so long, and finally getting to do it and prove that I can do it was one of the coolest things ever.
Really, really cool. Now, you know, so did you, it sounded like you knew it was a good pass when you went through the top end. You felt you got it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, and it's funny, though, because, I mean, I really don't have anything to compare it to besides my 387 run. But, I mean, I knew it was, you know, it felt like I was going into, you know, outer space. And it was absolutely hilarious because at the top end, you know, the guys at with the safety safari, who are unbelievable, by the way, they get out and they're like, "Are you okay?" Because they could hear me screaming. And I was like, "I'm great." Like, I was, you know, I was overjoyed. And they're pushing me off the track, and I'm not even off the track yet. And all of a sudden, I hear Dom screaming, 382. And in my head, I'm like, how did he get here? Like, he literally hopped on his scooter, and everyone said he looked like John Forrest going up the return road, coming to tell me. And, yeah, no, it was, my parents were there. So it was just an emotional, amazing moment getting to get it done and do it flying.
Right, so amazing. Well, let's talk about the rest of the season now. Are you planning to do a couple more races? Is there a budget for that, or what's the plan?
You know, the plan is absolutely up in the air right now as far as what exactly we're going to be doing. But, you know, we're still working on the alcohol car, and my family owns that, and we're, you know, still wanting to compete in that no matter what. And so for that, we are actually rebuilding our car right now. We've been having a lot of problems the last number of years and decided now's the time to, you know, kind of just start from scratch. And, you know, so hopefully we're trying to test in the next couple weeks doing that and planning on Norwalk being the next national event in that class. But when it comes to, you know, being a newly licensed Top Fuel driver, no matter what, I'm really aiming to make my debut race this year. Don't know exactly where yet, but, you know, that's one of those things we're working on to try and pull more funding to, you know, make it more than that. You know, I'm trying to, you know, talk to different teams and look for other possibilities of, you know, there are a few teams out there who I know are, you know, and I think everyone knows they're looking to expand or have the opportunity to expand. So I'm really just putting all my eggs in a ton of different baskets right now and trying to, you know, see which one hatches first, I guess.
Sounds good. Have helmet, will travel.
Yes, exactly. It's ready to go.
Well, you know, I'm just listening. Of course, we've never spoken before, folks, and that's the absolute truth. But I have to say, and of course, I've seen your picture, though you present very professionally. You obviously speak so professionally and so wonderfully and so with such exuberance. I have to imagine you'd be a perfect representative for any sponsor out there. So there's probably 30, 40 countries listening right now. Guys and gals, if you got a couple dollars for Top Fuel, I think we may have just found your your driver here.
That is so sweet of you. I really do appreciate that. And I think that's one thing, you know, I'm extremely passionate about this sport. I'm passionate about getting out there and, you know, sharing my love with people who are already fans of the NHRA and those who aren't. And I mean, I'm really lucky. I grew up being a fan of the sport. I actually, my back history is a lot different than most. I grew up doing sand drag racing, which mm-hmm. is same concept as NHRA drag racing, except on 300 feet of dirt. So it was right. extremely recreational. Did it with the family on weekends that we could. And when it came to where I live in Southern California, if the Winter Nationals or Finals were in town, I went there and I was just collecting autographs and starstruck every time I saw John Force or Tony Schumacher. And, you know, now that I've been able to work hard and climb the ranks up there and be a licensed driver among them, I mean, it's incredible. And I think that's what makes me so relatable is I'm a fan and I'm absolutely grateful and humbled to be next to these guys. And it makes it so fun to talk to fans and them, you know, ask me, how did you get here? How are you doing this? And I get to share my story of, you know, I was a fan. I loved it. I wanted to make it happen. So, you know, there were a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that went into it. But here I am today. So I like to share that story. And I mean, no matter what it is you like to do or what you're passionate about, you can absolutely make it happen.
Absolutely. So great. Well, there's a long, proud history of sand draggers converting over to drag racing. Some of the great names, certainly in Southern California. I mean, gosh, they pepper the drag racing list. By the way, you are on the drag racing list in the top fuel category. And that is a very rare contingency of folks there over the last 50 years or 60 years. So congrats on that. But we've got, let's talk about the racing and the alcohol car. So walk us through a little bit of how you've been doing in that category. Where do you race and who do you race against?
Yeah, no, I've been in the A-Fuel car for just about 4 years now, and we're a part-time team that's, you know, always gotten by and able to compete with, you know, the amazing sponsors and funding we've been able to accomplish to add to our family team. And with that, I mean, it's hard because we're going up against guys like Joey Severance, Chris Demke, who were, you know, based on the West Coast, who have been at it for years and years and years and years.
Yep.
And we came directly from the sand. We were actually running a blown alcohol sand dragster in the sand and threw ourselves into a totally different beast, the A-Fuel car. And so it was a huge learning curve for all of us, and that's one thing that we're still learning every time we go out. But even with that being said, we've made multiple round wins. They've made a couple semifinal appearances, had a number one qualifier at the Dallas National event. So we have a great car. It's just, you know, finding that consistency and being able to go to more events to keep the momentum up. But even with that, we've accomplished a lot for the little time we've had a part of the NHRA in the A-Fuel category or the alcohol category, and it's absolutely shaped me as a driver to, you know, make me ready to go into these last month, I guess, of getting my top fuel license, because without all that seat time, I would not have been ready for the amazing run I got to make in Charlotte, that's for sure.
Right. Well, you know, when you go back over time, of course, cars always get quicker and quicker and faster. But, you know, when you think about it, I really need to do on math on this because that would be very interesting to me. You know, you've gone quicker than the vast majority of top fuel racers ever have in their lives. And no matter, you know, of course, you know, cars do get quicker, but any of you guys running like 520s, 530s, I mean, there's, you know, you got to get to Gary Beck in the early 80s, that was the last time that the record in top fuel was that far. And anybody before that didn't touch it. So it's, you know, you guys are flat flying. So, you know, you're going into it.
Exactly, and that's what makes me so grateful. Because, I mean, there's a lot of top fuel licensed drivers. But, yeah, to be running a competitive number that actually would have won them they made it to the semis in Charlotte, the Laganas did. If they would have ran that 382, they would have went to the finals at one of the biggest races of the year. And to, you know, just be able to say I'm in that category of runs as a top fuel driver, it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. So amazing. Well, let's see. We've got a couple more minutes to talk to you about racing. I mean, you may not have many of these, but tell us your most fun, your most miserable, and the craziest time that you've had at the drags. You can stick the sand drags in there if you want to.
Oh, okay. This will be fun then. Well, actually, one of the most fun experiences, I mean, obviously the Top Fuel, getting my license, that's just absolutely at the top. But one that not a lot of people know about is in the sand drags, I was racing my family-owned blown alcohol sand dragster. Well, at the time, my dad was competing in the Top Fuel ranks in the sand drags. And so a part of the sand drags, it was very laid back and very fun, and my dad and I were given the opportunity in the two different cars to compete on the starting line against each other and race. And I mean, everyone had it on my dad. He was in a Top Fuel car, I was in a blown car, but guess who won?
You got him.
And he will never live it down, and you know, of course, he blames mechanical issues and all that, but you know what, at the end of the day, a win is a win, and I beat my dad in the sand, and that's one of the most fun experiences I ever had in racing, because really that's how it all started for me, was with my family and racing. So to get to say that, and I'm sure you know people like Courtney Forrest can agree, it's one of the best feelings ever, getting to beat the old man.
Right. Well, don't worry, Dad. It's only about 350,000 people on the Facebook page here, so we're...
Sorry, Dad, calling you out again. He hates this story so much.
Well, tell us,
I love it.
I think something people don't realize is, I mean, you mentioned how short the track is in the sand. Tell us about the ETs there. It'll blow people's minds how quick they
get. Yeah, no. I mean, it's literally, I was going about 155 and about 3.3 ET. It was over in a blink of an eye.
Right.
If you yawned, you missed it. That's for sure.
Yeah. 3.30s, baby. We get, you know, nobody's touching that yet unless they're in our rocket cars. So, and they don't run those anymore.
So yeah, cool. But and then when it comes to most miserable, actually, that's really funny you said that, because it was one of the greatest weekends when we got that number one qualifier at the Dallas National event. But we also had zero AC on us, and it was extremely hot and extremely humid. I can't even tell you how bad it was. But we unfortunately lost the first round, and after that, we were just cleaning up with zero AC. And I forget, something else happened to where our cleanup process took about three times longer than usual. And I just remember we were all zombies covered in sweat, and we're like, we just want to go into AC or go home. But we roughed it out, and we stayed, and we watched the whole event. And I mean, of course, you're always fun being a fan, but when you go from number one qualifier to losing first round, having a terrible cleanup, everyone's grumpy, and I don't know why, but for whatever reason, we all just hated our lives that day. But at the end of the day, now we all look back on it and we laugh, and we're like, that was just brutal. We all deserve an award for getting through that day.
Absolutely. Well, some of the great names that you'll recognize in the Top Fuel Funny Car ranks, they used to say, man, when I lose, I'm out of here. I'm not sticking around for nothing. So you guys are showing a lot of character there. Well, let me give you a last chance here. We're about ready to turn it over to John. Did you got any shout-outs before we send you into the music section of the program?
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I would love to just shout out my family for, you know, supporting me 110% in this crazy dream I'm chasing. And then especially, same goes towards my sponsors, for who most of them, you know, decided to trust me and sponsor me when I wasn't even licensed in an A-fuel car. And that is America's Best Value Inn and Red Lion Hotels Corporation, all their hotel chains. Wherever we go, they take care of us, and there's always a hotel near the track. So if you guys are ever traveling, check them out. Let them know you heard me today, and I'm sure they'll give you some extra love and hospitality. They always make you feel like you're home away from home. And also Lucas Oil, CP Carrillo, NGK Spark Plugs, and Weld Wheels, and Molly and Clevi, all those guys, I couldn't do them without them. And then, of course, for those who do or do not know, one of the ones that believed in me from the start was Jellish and Morgan Taylor. which mm-hmm. I'm sure all you guys know is gel polish and nail polish. And really, those are the guys who took the biggest leap of faith going into an industry that most times you don't see nail polish on a racetrack. And mm-hmm. getting to wear a pink fire suit that has a nail polish brand on it is one of the coolest things ever.
That's cool. Well, I tell you what, you and a lot of ladies like you are going to change that. But let's talk a little bit about what gets inside your head musically. John, let's ask some rocking questions.
Yeah, Ashley, we would like to know what your favorite kind of music is.
I am a classic rock and roll girl till I die.
All right.
Me and my parents are best friends, and since I was a little girl, was listening to The Doors, The Eagles, Led Zeppelin, and everything in between. And literally, that's all that is on my playlist. I get made fun of by my friends for not staying up to date on current music, but I can't help it. That's what I love.
Well, that's totally cool. You know, before I joined the band I'm in now, I've been with this band for 12 years, but before that I was in a classic rock band, and we did all of those. We did The Doors, Led Zeppelin, Fleetwood Mac.
Fleetwood Mac is one of my personal favorites.
Yeah. You just don't get no better than that, you know? I mean, it's the coolest music, and everybody knows those songs, and heck, that band stayed busy. You know, but when you're on your way to the races, is there a particular song that you think about that gets you pumped up and ready to go out there?
You know, what's funny is it seems to change every race weekend. And I know some other drivers have been that same way. And it's like you hear one song and for whatever reason, it gets you particularly pumped and it sticks in your head for the whole race weekend. And that happens to me a lot out there. And sometimes then it'll range to where if I just hear a song on the radio. And I mean, that's where my taste in music is. I mean, my favorite's classic rock, but I listen to everything. I'm open ears to hearing, you know, whatever someone else loves. And I mean, anything catchy and anything that can really, you know, get me pumped up, I'm all for. So some weekends I'll have a rap song stuck in my head all weekend and it gets me pumped. And then others, it's, you know, a classic rock song that some people are like, you're getting pumped to this? How? And it just gets me in that mood, and I don't know what it is, but it totally ranges all the time.
That is so cool. Have you been to any concerts lately? Any shows going on where you live?
You know, one show in particular, I'm really trying to get my hands on a pair of tickets. It's a little expensive right now, but I'm determined to get myself there. Is what recently just came out is the Classics event, which is going to be at Dodger Stadium in mid-July, mm-hmm. and that is going to be Fleetwood Mac, the Eagles, the Doobie Brothers, Steely Dan, Journey. I'm missing one more, Earth, Wind, and Fire, all six of them, two nights in a row, and that one is just, me and my mom and dad were all like, we're going to find a way to get in there, even if we sneak in, which you didn't hear me say on the radio, but we're going to get ourselves in there. Yeah, no, we're looking forward to that.
Well, you know, I featured you as Racer of the Week in February of 2014. On the show, and I'm looking at the graphic right now. I think it's great that you made a Top Fuel licensing run, and you did outstanding on that. And I have no doubt that down the road in the future, something good's going to happen for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I mean, I'm working hard. I keep telling myself, hey, I've made it this far. I need to just push to get to the very end. And I mean, even if the opportunity does come and I get to work with a team and be full time, the work never stops, and I'm ready for that. I mean, it's one thing to get your license, then get a ride, but you need to keep that ride, and you want to compete, and you want to be the very best. So this is just the beginning for me.
That is great, Ashley.
Well, I tell you what, Ashley Sanford, ladies and gentlemen, awesome, awesome young talent. Great 382 at 317. But that's after she went 319, tickling the 320 mark in the 1,000
so close.
Feet. Congratulations on getting your license, Ashley. Best of luck this year. Whatever you do, we'll be looking out for the headlines to see what happens next.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for having me on. It's been a blast.
Awesome. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen, Ashley Sanford, the sport's newest NHRA top fuel racer, fully licensed and ready to go. Sponsors, you heard it here first. Folks, let's turn it over to John Balkaman for this week's Racer of the Week and his take. John?
Thanks, BP. My pick for Racer of the Week is Candace Izumi. She is a talented photographer and drag racer from Oahu, Hawaii. Candace was recommended to me by our friend and manager of the 808 Fuel page, which covers the entire scope of the Hawaiian Islands, Michael Baba Balbarino. Thanks, Michael. Born and raised in Hilo on the Big Island of Hawaii, Candace was exposed to automobiles and mechanics from when she was a very young child due to her father's career as an auto body repairman and painter. She started racing her very first car that she owned, a 1990 Honda CRX, when she was 19. In 2004, Candace purchased her first motorcycle, a 2003 Yamaha R6. The first time that she went over 100 miles an hour on it, she was instantly hooked on the speed and adrenaline rush. She later started racing motorcycles in 2007 on her Suzuki GSX R750. Candace's current motorcycle is a 2005 Suzuki GSX R1000 named Raiden, after the Japanese god of lightning and thunder. She raced it naturally aspirated and rode it on the street for about 5 years before being able to purchase a Stage 1 turbo kit from Velocity Racing. The current motor in the bike is currently untuned, a replacement motor of the original motor that she was racing with up until 2015. No internal modifications were done to this current motor. Candace said that she's racing with 6 pounds of boost with a Power Commander 3 for piggyback fuel management. The extended swing arm was made by McIntosh Machine and Fabrication. Aside from the race slick, the bike can be able to be ridden on the street. Candace has had several placements, first and second, in races back in 2008 and 2010. Her major accomplishment was in breaking the state record that was set at 8.41 seconds for a non-wheelie bar motorcycle. She ran an 8.23 at 164.81 miles an hour in May 2015. Then she reset the record with an 8.02 in November 2016. The night after she ran the 8.02, she reset the record again with an 8.00 at 166 miles an hour. So close to a 7-second pass. Well, Candace, I should mention here that at the first drag race I attended, the top fuel dragsters ran 8.00. Now, ever since Candace started racing with the turbo on her bike, winning trophies was really not her aspiration. She just wanted to go as fast as she could with the basic setup that she had. Candace sends thank yous to all her friends and family for their support, Kalo's Garage, EB Speed, her fellow racers and staff at Maui Raceway Park for their assistance with her bike whenever she needed it, and also to Andy's Motorcycle Shop. Her goals are to keep on racing as long as she can afford it. She said, going racing here in Hawaii is time-consuming and expensive if you live on the island of Oahu, where I currently live. Hawaii Raceway Park, which was the state's largest racetrack and on Oahu, closed down in 2006. Now, Oahuans must ship their vehicles to either the islands of Maui, Kauai, or the Big Island to race. She added, this is not a goal, but just that it would be great to be sponsored to race a motorcycle one day so that I can give my bike a well-deserved rest. Well, Candace, your performance is outstanding, and we wish you good luck, safe racing, and the best of times in the future. Back to you, BP.
Thank you, John. JB's take, everybody. Great as always. Let's go to Lost Friends, and we have two to mention. One on May 1st, although we were on the air last week, we hadn't heard about this. One of the absolute greats, another grandfather sport of the sport, Bill Replogle, who drove for Ernie Hashim in the belly tank front drive Chrysler Dragster, passed away on May 1st. One of the great, great drivers of the early days. Look him up, folks. He won Bakersfield 1 year. He's on the drag list. If you go to the top fuel racers of all time, he's right there on the front page because back then he dominated. Also, Dan Barton, comp eliminator racer, unfortunately killed when a heavy trailer door fell on him this past weekend up at Boise at the Igniter event. Dan was 65. Dan, to your family and friends, just terrible, terrible tragedy. And farewell to you, sir, and of course to Bill Replogle. We want to thank Ashley Sanford, who was fabulous, John Bockelman, Danny White, Jeff and Dustin Gilder, Barb Santucci, and Bud, Mr. Drag News DeBoer. Have a great week. Next Monday night, John Troxell, one of the great nostalgia double B funny cars who's been out there doing it for a long, long time. Folks, we will see you next week. Bye bye.
Down on the board, late one night, my friend and I were in the white spotlight.